anyways, we'll have more of this scintillating 2017 tease when we actually are in 2017. like I said, next week is a maybe because we don't know if there's going to be enough news to talk about. Maybe there'll be some really blockbuster news that is announced, but we'll see. So, anyways, we will see you possibly next week.
Okay, happy gaming, everyone.
Take care, y'all.
Yeah, I'm here.
Wait, what? Paul?
Yeah, hi.
Paul, you're kind of late.
No, I'm not.
Yes, it is. Yes, you are.
Oh, you meant your time, not my time.
Yeah, they both. Scott and TJ just left. You're here alone with me.
That's just the way I like it, baby.
So this is a milestone episode. This is 450. Which,
right, I know, that's why I was here on time!
Okay. Well, we already talked about the news items and we gave out our awards. Although I will say, you know, earlier this year when we were at E3, you expressed a lot of reservations about Final Fantasy XV.
Oh my god, and I have heard from everybody who played it, and that is exactly one person, that it's terrible.
Really? Because everything I'm hearing, it's great. I mean, at least the combat. And this is the first Final Fantasy, I think ever, that did not have a female protagonist. It's four dudes. And they have a serious bromance on. Something tells me that they're more than just bromances, really. But the reason for that, of course, is that this wasn't supposed to be Final Fantasy XV, it was supposed to be Final Fantasy XIII Versus. So, what did you...
Yeah. The whole thing just sounds really weird and stupid, and to not have a female in it just seems like a poor decision.
I don't know, I mean, all the other games had at least two female characters in your party to start with, wasn't it? So it's...
I mean, if you want to go back to the first one, I think they were fairly genderless, but whatever.
Well, so are these guys, actually. Not that there's anything
wrong
with that.
Oh my god, I told you, and they all look the same!
But the thing is that this is sort of like the male bonding, but not in a macho way, more like we can sleep in the same bed and it won't be weird sort of way.
Yeah, I mean, the commercial is invoking the Stand By Me movie, and...
Yeah, but Stand By Me, metrosexual version. Although we don't know that, you know, for all we know, they could be actual boyfriends.
I might have to look into it.
So anyway, the news that we have, one of the items that I thought I might get your impression of was we discussed that there was that Yooka-Laylee, one of two games, was getting a release date. And Playtonic said it's going to be released on April 11th for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. But they also announced that they were dropping the Wii U version and they were going to release a Switch version. And the comments were not pleased.
Which version?
The Switch version. The Nintendo Switch. But here's the thing, is that people thought, you know, people... specifically backed it because they wanted a Wii U version, even though the Wii U was more or less discontinued by Nintendo like 2 years ago. And they backed it specifically because they wanted to play a Wii U version, and they weren't going to get a Wii U version. They're going to have to get the Switch version if they want a Nintendo version. which a lot of them thought was sort of bait and switch. What is your thoughts on that? Because you can feel for the programmers, because no one's buying Jack for the Wii U, but on the other hand, there's people who backed your game specifically to have a Wii U version.
You know what? There's no reason that they can't go back and port it, and it's really just kind of feels like a bad business practice.
I mean, I didn't hear about refunds yet. Maybe they can get refunds, because the thing is that this thing is backed. It's getting funding from other places now. They're not just relying on Kickstarter backers. So I think it would be hard for them to say, listen, if you don't want a different version, if you really, really wanted a Wii U version, we're not sending a Wii U version, we'll just give you a refund on whatever you backed us with.
That's fair.
I mean, they haven't said that yet, but I suspect that might be a solution that they're gonna employ.
Meanwhile, I'm spending all of my time thinking, how am I going to transfer over my LEGO Dimensions data?
Yeah, so let's talk about that. What have you been playing lately?
Oh my god, LEGO Dimensions. Oh my god. And Mario Run, which I don't care for.
Oh, you don't like the Endless Runners? Or you don't like that particular Endless Runner?
No. I just think it's terribly executed.
Oh, okay. Because the Pac-Man Endless Runner is actually kind of fun.
The Smurfs Endless Runner is more fun.
I haven't played that one.
Well, you should. It's much better than the Mario one.
So what's
although I will note that as a industry trendsetter that the Nintendo juggernaut has always been, it's interesting to see that their first foray into mobile gaming has 3 free levels and then you got to buy them.
Ew.
Oh yeah, okay. No, that's like you get 3 free levels and then hard velvet rope. That's it. So it's more like an experiment of, yeah, like I said, like velvet roping.
Yeah, if God forbid they would actually look at what everybody else was doing.
Free to try. Yeah, it's free to try. Not free to play.
Did they still have microtransactions in it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well then.
But I think that's a potential paradigm shift in the mobile space.
Yeah, I mean, most mobile runners, you know, they make their money by offering you free abilities. I mean, not free abilities, I mean pay abilities, like pay 99 cents to, you know. So, I don't know. But
they want to charge like $10. Like, it's really high.
You know, Square Enix did that with some of their games on mobile. You know, that they were, frankly, you know, they were worth it, but it's a large money gate for a mobile. You know, people look at $3 and say, "Oh, that's kind of expensive."
I mean, it's more to the fact that since it looks exactly like a traditional Mario game, I want to control Mario and not just like when he jumps.
Yeah.
I want to go back to stuff that I missed, you know.
So LEGO Dimensions, what characters have you gotten?
I have been obsessed with the Fantastic Beasts story pack,
which is
the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the new
okay, yeah, the new J.K. Rowling thing. I was, when you said Fantastic, I thought, oh, Fantastic Four, really?
No, I'm. I gotta say, I was skeptical at E3 when I saw the story packs, because the only one that they had shown was the one for the 2016 Ghostbusters movie, and I was like, who's gonna really want to, you know, hit that price point for just one IP? And then when I got the Fantastic Beasts one, because I got it directly after I saw the movie at 2:30 in the morning. It was a thing. Man's Chinese Theater at 2:30 in the morning on launch day.
Oh Lord. Oh Lord.
Awesome. I want a t-shirt.
Okay.
But no, I mean, it's,
I could be bitchy and say extra, extra large, but I'm not. We all know you're
the medium.
I know. We all know you're real thin.
Yeah, so it's the same amount of content as the original storyline for LEGO Dimensions. So the the $80 starter kit had that whole long saga about Gandalf and Batman and Wildfire, you know, having to save the multiverse.
I'm actually looking forward to the LEGO Batman movie, by the way.
Oh my god, I'm so pissed that the LEGO Batman movie story pack is not available before Christmas because people are buying me presents and that's what I want!
Wait, it's not coming out this year, is it? The LEGO Batman movie.
No, February 2017.
And right, okay.
They're really smart because the story pack isn't available for LEGO Dimensions until the launch date of the movie because it's the exact same thing. So it really is just like it's playing almost joke for joke. but then it's adding that extra step of humor for the LEGO universe.
Right.
You know, the same way that, like, you know, they poke fun at their giant sausages and, well, that's a different story altogether.
So, aside from the Fantastic Creatures thing, what else did you have? I mean, the ones that you had bought, because you never really said this, because you haven't been on the podcast that much since you got LEGO Dimensions.
Oh, that's because of a series of unfortunate events have struck my 2016, and boy, am I just ready for this year to be over. Let's see. Last week there was a fire in my building that stopped one apartment next to mine. That was just the most recent one. There was a murder in my complex.
Well, you know, the thing is a fire, you know, you keep on talking about how packed your place is. That might have been your spring cleaning you needed.
Oh, but you know what? On the good note is my 2017 is going to be off to a fantastic start because I got a new gig.
Where?
I'm going to go teach game design at Full Sail in Orlando, Florida, my alma mater.
Meanwhile, I'll be moving to LA, which...
I know, right?
So, yeah. I actually got you a gift a couple of months ago.
You didn't have to do that, sweetie.
No, it was the Legend of Zelda Yahtzee.
Oh, that's cute.
Box is really pretty. I mean, it's Yahtzee, but...
Oh, yeah, it's the one that looks like a treasure chest, right?
Yeah, and almost forgot what the name of the glyph is. The Triforce. Cool. The Triforce on it, yeah. But,
But to answer your previous question, so let's say I have been a lunatic because,
Doc Brown?
As anybody who knows me, my favorite part about the entire Toys to Life category is that it allows me to play my real favorite game, which is Bargain Hunter.
So you've been cruising those electronic stores looking for cheap Lego figurines.
Oh my god, I outsmarted Black Friday. It was fantastic. Oh my god, it was amazing. So I bought the $60 Fantastic Beasts story pack the day it came out at like 5 in the morning, which is a whole nother story. But a week later was Black Friday, and so it was on sale, and it was sold out at like every store in Burbank. And I didn't have to go and fight people or stand in line hassle. I just walked into Best Buy with my receipt, and I was like, "Hi, I bought this product a week ago, and now it's on sale. I'd like a refund." They gave me half my money back. It was great.
So
yeah, let's see. Characters. Well, I did backtrack because they were on sale for $5. I got Slimer and Cyborg because why the hell not? But I also picked up E.T. I picked up the fun pack for Fantastic Beasts, so I got the female lead, Tina. Let's see, what else? Oh, I got the Harry Potter team pack. I got the Sonic level pack.
Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog. I get the level pack. It's great.
Oh.
Keep in mind, like, 9 of these things I haven't opened yet because, you know, because the story pack is just so much damn...
Did you get the Mystery Machine or Doc Brown or...
Series 1. I got Doc Brown and The Simpsons and Scooby-Doo. And like I said, I was obsessed. I have, from year 1, I have at least one figure of every IP, whether I like it or not. So that this way I can access the sandbox world for that character, because
that is just so relaxing to, like, put on an audiobook and just run around in a sandbox trying to collect all the little red bricks.
That reminds me. They're actually coming out with Lego World, which is supposed to be a competitor for Minecraft.
Good! Good for them!
And the thing is that since Minecraft is basically Lego, I mean, just a very interactive Lego.
I've been saying that for years.
So, yeah, I mean, that's one thing to look out for, Lego World. Scott was talking about...
And Minecraft is now having story mode products, so...
You know, I wonder if Warner Brothers will talk to Microsoft, because they own Minecraft, and see if they can't get, characters in Lego that are Minecraft. Probably not, since Lego World is going to be a direct competitor, but it'll be interesting.
Well, see, that's the whole thing, is that Warner Brothers is making money hand over fist for, you know, all the licensing that's associated with Dimensions, but they're not the ones getting the money for, like, the game, because that's Telltale Studios.
Well, I mean, things like E.T., that's not Warner Brothers. That's Amblin Entertainment, you know? So.
Right, but Warner Brothers has signed the exclusive contract with Lego, so everything's being funneled through them.
So, you're completely over Disney Infinity now.
Well, you know what? I would answer that question, but it looks like there's nothing to be over.
I know. What was the last thing they released from Inside Out, right?
No, it was Finding Dory.
Oh, okay. And yeah, we're closing Disney Infinity, but you want to buy Finding Dory before we go?
I was in Toys R Us last night for one of my annual go to Toys R Us at one in the morning sessions because of Christmas weekend.
We don't have a Toys R Us anymore.
Oh my! Oh, you don't understand. They're open at 1 a.m. and they're.
I know, but New York doesn't have the. We haven't had a Toys R Us in years now, and I'm surprised how much I miss it.
There's still one 5 blocks from my mother's house.
In New York?
Staten Island, yeah.
Staten Island, yeah. Well, that's kind of a walk. The only thing we have is Babes R Us in Union Square. Babies R Us.
That's lame. But yeah, like, I was in Toys R Us last night, and the friend that I was with was stunned to see that they were even still selling the leftover Infinity figures. He's like, don't those even not work anymore? I'm like, they're shutting down the servers in May or March, and I'm like, they only made that decision so that they could try to sell off the stock during Christmas.
But so the mechanic about with Lego is, in order to change your vehicle, you actually have to physically take the Legos apart and put them back together again before you put them on the. What do they call it? They don't call it the thing of power like they do in Skylanders. What do they call it?
No, it's a platform.
I know. Do they call it time portal or what? You just call it a platform.
Well, I think they're. I think with the inclusion of the story packs, they're rebranding it to change for each pack. Because the cool thing about it is that the original starter set has that iconic blue time portal, which exactly is, or world portal, whatever, that's what it's called. But you could just, instead of having to, like, demolish it, you could just lift up the whole base plate and move that entire physical creation over and put on a new faceplate and build the next scene, which is the Fantastic Beasts, which is awesome. And I got the Ghostbusters one, so there's a little Chinese restaurant. So yeah, so I don't know, so I don't remember what they called it, because it's no longer the driving focus hub of the narrative, the way it was in the starter set. So what makes it more interesting is that instead of having to jump back and forth to this place between worlds, you run from level to level within the sandbox of the world. So it's, you know, if the level takes place in Central Park, you're running from the Ministry of Magic to Central Park. And then the level will start when you get there, rather than having to. So I haven't spent any time at my actual portal because I've been progressing in the story. But it's great because that means you get to explore the sandbox in between levels and it's a much more cohesive experience. And it was a brilliant design decision. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah. You don't have any you know, actually, this item you might be interested in, too. Final Fantasy's 30th anniversary plans to be revealed. The first Final Fantasy title released in Japan was in December 18th, 1987. That means the franchise will be celebrating its 30th anniversary next year. But what will that look like? Square Enix isn't quite ready to divulge its plans, but in a recent interview with Famitsu, executive producer Shinji Hashimoto said the company would announce them soon. We know for sure that there's going to be Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, but other than that, there's just, you know, speculation. So, what would you like to see next year as part of the 30th anniversary celebration of Final Fantasy?
Well, I want to say from the outset that whatever they're doing, it's got to be huge, because looking at the handful of competitive IPs that originated in video games that have lasted anywhere near as long, the last one was Zelda at 25, and for that milestone, they made sense out of their goddamn fractured timeline.
Wait a minute, time out! Actually, you know, I don't know if we've actually talked about Breath of Wind with you, save for the E3 appearance.
Oh, that was the last time I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, do you have any new opinions on it now that, you know, there's a little bit more information coming about the Switch? They actually said that on the 12th they were going to finally announce a price and a release date.
For Zelda?
For the Switch.
Oh. Do we have that information yet?
Nope, not yet, but...
So they lied to me.
Hold on, let me look that up, because I know they were supposed to announce when it was... Yeah, there's rumors right now that it's going to be a starting price of $250 with a higher storage option for $300.
That doesn't sound like the Nintendo I know.
Really? Why doesn't it sound like the Nintendo you know?
Historically, Nintendo has maintained a fairly dominant market share average over the course of the last 30 years because they've consistently tried to hit a lower price point than their competitors.
Right.
And I don't think they'd really go over 200 for their base.
Well, the problem is that the Switch has a lot of tech in it. Especially when you have a modified Tegra chip in it, which is, by the way, how most cell phones are powered. So, you know, they might be selling at a loss there, even if they go as much as 300.
I gotta be honest, I haven't gotten that far into the technical specifications of it, what with, you know, the upcoming move and negotiations and all the stuff that I've been going through recently.
But we did find out that the it's going to be a tablet controller in which you can take off the sides for two other controllers. So basically what you're doing is what you do with Wii U and the tablet controller that has, you know, in which you can play off your TV. You can do that with the Switch, but it'll be more like a handheld console that you can play the same games with, and that you can also, when you're attached to the TV, you can take off the two controllers on the side and, you know, play with those. I mean, I have to wonder what the battery power is going to be like.
Oh my god, I have been getting very disappointed with the battery power on my Wii U tablet.
Huh?
Like, it only lasts, like, 4 hours. Like, I'm just getting started in 4 hours. What are you talking about?
Speculating, if you're going to be playing Skyrim on a handheld console like the Switch, it's going to be, like, an hour, maybe an hour and a half tops of power. And I'm thinking, what the hell is the point of it then? Because the thing is, that, you know, the Game Boy was not more powerful than, what was the Lynx at the time? Or the Game Gear? No, it was the Game Gear they were competing against. The Game Gear looked a lot prettier. But the Game Boy, the original Game Boy, that thing lasted for 10, 12 hours on a battery, you know?
Right, and it was cheaper than any other option because they made the decision to go black and white. The technology was available.
Yeah, that's why they encoded the...
people weren't willing to pay for it.
That's why they encoded the color in the original Game Boy cartridges that would turn to color when you put it in the eventual Game Boy Color. You know, it's like, oh,
right.
Well.
So, like, forward thinking, but being more conscious of where the right price point for a family with young children would be.
Really, how much color did you really need with Tetris?
All right. If you say one more bad thing about Tetris, I might kill you.
No. That's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, you know, Tetris is all about shapes, you know?
Yes.
You don't need color. I mean, Several Shades of Grey does just fine with Tetris. I mean, they also, Pokemon, you know, you didn't really need that much color because the Pokemon were so cute, you know, and you use your imagination, which a lot of people don't use anymore.
I lament the loss of the imagination age.
Yeah.
I'm also ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
So getting back to Final Fantasy.
What would I like to see?
I mean, they keep on talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake Remastered. I mean, that's what people want. That has nothing to do with what Square actually said, but that's what people want.
Here's the thing. I'm only going to be interested in a Final Fantasy remake if I can go back and fix the horrific emotional trauma that game...
Oh, sorry. She has to die. No, she has to die. Sorry, that's not going to change.
She could die. That's great. It's one of the greatest moments in video game history. But there is, in the Japanese release, there was an entire subchapter about how to bring her back in the last act of the game. And they just deleted it for America. So it was just like, that's it. Dead.
Poor what's her face?
Eris.
I know, I'm joking.
20 years that bitch has been dead and it still hurts.
Maybe there'll be a Final Fantasy 16 in which you encounter her ghost and you talk to her ghost. Although the thing
you don't understand. It's all there. In Japan, she came back.
I know, but the thing is that, you know, that's one thing about Final Fantasy is that it's not a continuous narrative. It's just separated narratives on different worlds. It's the same game, but it's like, you know, the different... So that's why they have to have 10-1 and 10-2, 10 part 1 and 10 part 2 and 13 part 1, 2, and 3, and no one cared.
Hey, the only reason that they made a 10-2 was because people cared about the characters they created for 10.
That was your favorite, right? Number 10?
Yeah, 10 was the one that made me want to be a game designer.
Okay. Was the Zodiac Age actual part, is that just a remake or is it a new title?
Oh, I have no idea.
It's Final Fantasy XII.
Like I said, dude, the last 6 months I've been living under a rock.
So you just... Is there anything else you'd want? I mean, that's a tribute to the Final Fantasy series.
I want, as a tribute... You know what? If they could... Not remaster so much as... if they want to do, like, some funky thing where they travel... Where they send, like, a modern character... traveling back through the Final Fantasy worlds, almost like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where they hop from one the Family Guy, where they're hopping between dimensions.
It would be funny if they already know if the character was actually a gamer who's played the games and already knows what's going to happen and just drops little hints at them. If it was you in Final Fantasy VII, you'd say, well, it's nice knowing you, Aerith. Hopefully this is the Japanese version of the game, so you can come back.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cute, but it would get old really quick because that has to have strong writing throughout. But, like, to take, like, whatever the most graphically advanced... You know, to take the guys from 15 and, like, they have to go back in time, and when they go back in time, like, you see them rendered in an 8-bit world.
I would like to see if they were in an 8-bit world and still rendered like they were in 15.
No, like you see them, like you see them translated into that world, because that's just what the past looked like.
I get it. That's like at the if you remember the end credits of Wreck-It Ralph, you see them all, the characters all rendered in various forms.
Yes, you still you see the high res Jane Curtin as going to visit Felix's world and rendered in that same style as a classic arcade game. Yeah, that was cool. So exactly that thing.
Yeah. What's interesting is seeing Felix rendered higher, like in the 16-bit when he's firing the guns with Jane. You know,
yeah.
You see him as a 16-bit character. So, yeah, and by the way, Wreck-It Ralph 2, is it supposed to be coming out next year or in 2018 or something? I know there's
Okay, what part of rock did you not get?
What do you mean, what part of rock did
what part of I've been living under a rock?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I'm unsure. I know there was always supposed to be a Wreck-It Ralph 2. But...
Yeah, I would imagine it would be...
Wait, what's the last movie you saw?
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
But okay, besides that one, I mean, besides the most recent one that you could be destitute and still be panhandling for cash to want to see it.
Oh wait, no, I did see Moana. And
what?
That was,
oh.
The new Disney film.
Right, the one set in Hawaii.
Yeah, well, it was charming and entertaining without being, you know, one of their best. Like, it was a solid B+. Or A-. But it's not like, you don't get that same feeling you get, like, when you see Beauty and the Beast for the first time that, like, you just know this is, like... a masterpiece.
That's your nice way of saying it's a generic Disney movie.
No, it's not generic. It's really outside of the box, and I really like it because of that. But I don't know that. I don't know that there was. There's just that little extra touch that it's missing. It seems, you know what, it's very much like Wind Waker, in that because they're traveling by sea, everything feels a little bit more episodic, because it's like we go to one island, then another island, then another island, and then another island. So that's I think, ultimately, the fact that there wasn't it's a journey, to be sure, but because it's a journey film, there wasn't a central destination like Beast's Castle to... bring it back to, but no, it's a road trip picture on sea, but like absolutely delightful. The music could have been a little better, but whatever. We can't all be Alan Menken.
So did you have any awards for any of the games you've played, out of the top of your head? I mean, they don't have to be you know. See, the thing is, we came up with awards that were sort of goofy, like the word that made you, let me give you an example, like, the best softcore porn disguised as a video game award went to Dead or Alive Extreme 3. You know, do you have any...
Of course it did.
Do you have any... do you have any other, any awards that you'd want to hand out games?
Yes. So, the Shut Up and Take My Goddamn Money award goes to Lego Dimensions. because really, it doesn't matter what figures they release. I'm gonna buy one.
So
just because I want sandbox worlds and they're fun.
Oh, so you're saying you want the story packs?
I love the story pack, the high end $60 total experience that you get, really delving hardcore into like the Fantastic Beasts movie. But I'm also going to go out and buy at least one character from every IP at the fun pack level, which is, you know, just the $5. Because, you know what? Because for $5, I get a new sandbox to explore. And that in and of itself is like 3 hours of joy.
Now, let me ask you a question. When you send characters who are foreign to that sandbox into the sandbox, do they have any comments about it? Unique comments about it?
I think so. I think so, actually. It's been a while since I hopped like that. Like, I've got to be honest. I'm running through the first run through of the Fantastic Beasts narrative with only the four Fantastic Beasts characters.
So if you send Doc Brown in there, I wonder what he's going to say.
Right. So I'm going to be interested to look for that. And I haven't really done a whole bunch of the jumping back and forth between year one and two yet. Like, to be honest, I kind of just put all my year ones away for right now.
I wonder if, you know what IP they could probably get to put in that? That's the TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Pretty sure they could do that. You'd have to have individual turtles, though. I was not a huge fan of the Turtles when I was growing up because I was in my 20s, but...
Because you have no goddamn soul.
No, I was in my 20s. I mean, I saw them, and the dialogue was cringeworthy for me. I mean, I appreciate people who are 10 years younger than me loving the Turtles.
Hey, some of us didn't have our balls drop yet, so...
Too much information. Anyways.
Expression for childhood.
Do you have any other awards, or is that it?
Oh, and the Told You So award goes to Final Fantasy XV.
Okay, told us what, though? What were you predicting?
That people were going to be disappointed.
Well,
it was just not going to appeal like people thought it would.
Actually, you know, the thing is that you're coming from an interesting place, because from what I'm hearing from other people, that they're ecstatic, you know, like it's a return to form, you know, that, well, it had its issues. I mean, one of the biggest issues people have is that you can only go on these monster hunting quests one at a time, and the reason why that's a pain is that you have to travel from the person who tells you to do it all the way to this other region, and you have to travel all the way back, and you can't take two so that you can hunt two of them at the same time. No, it's one at a time, and it's a lot of trekking back and forth. That's the only real complaint I heard about it.
That seems like a really tiny... That seems like a much smaller poor design decision than alienating the entire customer base who has loved the franchise because of strong female characters.
I don't know. I mean, everybody seems to love it, at least from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, okay.
Let's
just address the pink elephant in the room. You're talking about straight guys, and I'm talking about gay guys.
Well, not necessarily. No, the gamers are gamers with a Y also enjoy it. But, you know, I mean, like I said, it's a game that people are going to have differing opinions on. So some people are going to like it, some people are not going to like it. But at least it isn't...
Told you so, Award.
What? At least it isn't a complete disaster like Final Fantasy XIII. Let's put it that way. So if it isn't...
Go ahead.
I mean, here's the thing. Would you at least say it's a step in the right direction?
15?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. What's your motto again? Story is gameplay's bitch, right?
It's true. It's absolutely true.
So
and that's why I had extreme reservations when I saw the combat system.
And people are saying that's the strongest part of the game, by the way. But it makes sense because the entire point of the game, when it was first conceived, was combat. You know, it was Final Fantasy XIII versus. So at least they got that right. So they're probably going to... The best thing they can do is see what worked in the game, and then, you know, I'm willing to bet you there's going to be plenty of female protagonists in 16, whenever it comes out. You know? Like I said, 15 wasn't intended to be 15. Let's put it that way. I will say this, though. Let me ask you a question. If they... When they're releasing all of the... Because you know they're going to release costume DLC, you know. Just if they allow you to cross dress the guys, will you be happier?
I don't know. They may be male,
but what if one of them wants to identify as female?
Well, no. I mean, okay. So we're talking about costume DLC. To mimic existing heroines in the universe, so like if you could just reskin, you know, one of your buddies as Yuna, you know, are we talking like your buddy in drag, or are we talking about like a complete reskin?
We're talking about a guy in a dress. He's still a guy, but he prefers female clothing.
Oh, that's fine. I love that.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, they wouldn't be above it because they've done that in past Square Enix games, in which hey, you want to dress them, you know. Especially in Dead Rising, which isn't a Square, it's a Capcom game, but still, if you wanted to dress Frank West in a tutu, go right ahead.
Yeah, it's just clothing options. It's all about, that's about customization.
Yeah. So are you going to, like, check it out when Final Fantasy is, like, $15 and say, oh, let me see what it was all about?
I think once I get settled in Florida, I'll be able to, well, I'll be friggin' required to get a little bit more up to date.
Well, here's a question. What mobile games have you been playing?
Let's see. Like I said, I, in anticipation of, Mario Run, because I knew that was going to be a thing, I've been playing a bunch of runners, my favorite of which being the Smurfs.
Okay, I haven't seen that one yet.
Well, yeah, what really irritates me about, the Mario Runner is just that...
It looks like Mario. It looks too much like Mario.
No, I can get around that and get over that. It's just that if it's a little off-putting to me because there wasn't enough free gameplay to get used to the fact that it's trying to do something really different in the world of runners, which is allow Mario to jump backwards. All the other ones, it just keeps propelling you, and you can only jump forward.
Oh, okay. Because I remember being able to jump backwards in regular Mario Brothers games.
Right, and so that's like, so it does, you get to do cool things like bouncing off and off the, you know, walls and to climb, but, which is much more of a Mario thing, but in a runner genre, it's new, which is great, but there wasn't enough time to get acclimated for it before they asked me for $10. So I was like, well, no, because I'm having a really difficult time playing it.
Sounds like a demo disguised as a free-to-play game.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. Like, you get to the fourth board, and it's like, you can play the fourth board for 20 seconds.
Tease.
I don't know. Like I said, I enjoy the Smurfs more. I thought the tutorials were better. The ramp up was easier to understand. The ancillary features, you know, it's Mario's got some kingdom building stuff going on in there, which has the potential to be interesting. But then again, it smacked me with a velvet rope after 20 minutes.
That reminds me, you know, how do you feel about basically Super Mario Maker being canceled, just completely dumped?
I have mixed emotions about Mario Maker. You know, because it doesn't give the amount of freedom I'll put it this way. It doesn't give me the amount of freedom that I am accustomed to having done this professionally. So that's why it frustrates me, but I can see it being a neat little, doorway into that kind of an interest for a younger audience. Kind of like in the way that, we made Heroes of Might and Magic map packs back in the day, but like, you know, looking back at them now, like, you know, some of the ones we made back then were terrible. You know?
Yeah, they just released it for 3DS, in fact. There's very limited importing from the Wii U version.
Yeah, see?
But the Wii U version, they basically just stopped all support for it. You know, it's like, okay, whatever. We don't care anymore.
Well, you know what? That's gotta be because I think it's the sophistication level, and that there might be that their handhelds might skew younger, and well, I mean that and the fact that they're changing horses, you know, so it might just not be cost effective. But aside from that, without having access to the financials, it might be that there is a younger audience on their mobile than on their platform. Than they're on their console.
Yeah, they just didn't release any update in months and months and months. They just like, it's like they decided, oh, okay, we released it, people bought it, we don't care anymore.
It might have just been a port to make back some of the initial investment.
It could be that, you know, they said, okay, we got some interest back in Mario, now let's make the same old Super Mario Brothers we've been making for the past 20 years. That, you know, I don't know, or maybe they viewed it as competition. Wait, we people are making their own levels and they prefer those levels. Wait a minute, we got to stop that. I don't know. It just seems...
Well, you know what? But here's the problem with user-generated content is that somebody has to curate it. Because, like I said, there's a lot of crap out there. You know, not every time someone picks up a paintbrush is it going to be a Van Gogh. You know, and so how many scribbles, to run the metaphor to death, can one sit through?
You know, I actually talked about something like this, and it's slightly related, is that one of my awards was the best use of backwards compatibility, which was the Mass Effect trilogy, and I mentioned that, you know what, I'm playing a lot of 360 games on my Xbox One, thanks to, and they're also giving away free games if you're on, so I just got Lost Odyssey, and it's something I'm trying again, and I'm thinking about how much more of an expanded library I have suddenly because they included backwards compatibility I don't have to pay for, right? And it's sort of like, yeah, this is actually a good idea, you know? Can you imagine actually having backwards compatibility? And I look side-eyed at Sony, you know, who still wants you to pay for old games that you already own, you know? And I'm thinking about what the deal is going to be with the Switch and the Wii U, you know?
Speaking of repaying for games that one already owns... Why would anybody buy that $60 NES?
Mini NES?
Mini
NES. I already own an NES. I don't need it. Well, part of it...
Why would anybody do that?
Well, here's the thing. Part of it is the fact that you already have a crap ton of games on it. Like, you know the game, the Atari joystick that they sell, which has a crap ton of Atari 2600 games on it? You know, so it's sort of the same thing. But if you already own an NES, yeah, there's no reason to buy it. Zero.
I'm being facetious. It's clearly as a historical throwback for an audience that didn't get to experience it.
But aren't you sort of a hypocrite because you keep on buying the same 1985 gold cartridge Legend of Zelda over and over and over and over again on whatever system that you buy?
Hey, the original Zelda is a goddamn masterpiece.
Yeah, but you're still buying it over and over and over and over again. So, I mean, yeah, it's only $5 though.
I think in reality it's closer to like I think I have like maybe 3 or 4 copies of it.
You know, the thing is that I will say this, and this is what's it called? I still remember that chill that I got when I opened up the Legend of Zelda box, and inside was a gold cart. I mean, that was
because I'd never seen anything like it. Yeah,
it was like that gave me chills at the time. It still gives me a little chills remembering it.
I got it for my 8th birthday.
I got it for my 15th.
But, I mean, because I wanted to show Majora's Mask to a friend of mine, and I was like, now I have to connect my...
Super Nintendo?
No, I had to go connect my N64. And
oh, it was that's right. I forgot. It was
right.
N64.
Oh, and it has to be the 64 with the upgraded chip in it, and this one doesn't have it. And,
did you require the memory expansion for that?
And it's just like... You know what? It would have been so much easier if I just gone to the virtual console and just like, I don't feel like digging all that crap out.
Or just have a really old TV with a Nintendo 64 attached to it, and the only thing you use that old TV for is to play N64 games on it.
Well, yes, that's what we call a man cave.
Yeah, but...
Multiple screens dedicated per system.
But that's the thing. I like the direction that Microsoft and the Sony are going in that their next console is just going to be an upgraded console. So it's a new console, but you can play all your old games on it because they're basis. And the games that they're creating now, like Dead Rising 4, is actually forward compatible with the Scorpio. There's all these textures and all that stuff that'll unlock when the game realizes that you can handle it. You know, oh, you can handle these, so you can get them, you know? And yes, I know it's more like they're becoming more like computers, but on the other hand, you know, I like being able to play old stuff on new hardware and being able, because it's, you know, I cannot play Railroad Tycoon on Windows 10, and that irritates the hell out of me. Wait, here's a question for you. Are you still on XP?
Yes. I was so excited when Heroes 3 was released for XP.
That was one of the months I was living under my rock, to be honest. I went to a Heroes coma.
Yeah. I actually still remember, I said this on the podcast yesterday, I still remember the chills I got when I first played Heroes of Might and Magic 2 when I was rich and I was able to afford a bunch of games, and I just bought it because, why not? And I say, whoa. You know, remember that? Buying a game simply because of the box. You didn't read any reviews. You looked briefly at the back of the box. And you said, you know, this looks interesting. Let me take a leap and try it.
Right, because you could take a chance on something new because the price points were more reasonable. Because the game sizes were more reasonable. Right now, we've seen an erosion of the middle of the road product in the games market, where it's everything is either a AAA blockbuster, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, God of War, Death March, multi-billion-dollar game,
or a Kickstarter-backed indie,
right, or a mobile game, right? We've lost this whole middle section of like a great $20. 30-hour game.
Well, actually, you know, that's what a bunch of... TJ and Scott were raving about Tyranny, right? Which is the new Obsidian game. Which is sort of that. Which is sort of the middle ground, you know? It's not a huge AAA blockbuster, but it's also not a mobile game either. You know?
Well, I think it just kind of points to, you know, the erosion of the middle class in our society.
I mean, everybody was shitting on Mighty No. 9, but it was just an average game that was an average price that was not a blockbuster, nor was it an indie game, and I think people were upset that it wasn't a blockbuster.
Well, then here's an idea.
Lower your expectations.
So the people making it have money to make a sequel, and they could step it up a notch for you. Vote with your wallets!
Yeah, well, tell that to the people who backed Project Phoenix, who were told, oh, you know, the guy that we wanted to hire to program it after we backed it said he wasn't available, so you're going to have to wait for the game until 2018.
Well, staffing issues happen.
Yeah, no, but you should have your staff ready, you know. You shouldn't have to... They had a person that they really, really wanted, and the person said, sorry, busy. Say, oh, you're busy. Oh. And this is after the game was funded. You know, there's a lot of planning that goes into building a video game. Remember that.
Right, but there's also a big difference in an individual's life that can happen in the course
of
a 2-month window before, you know, that it takes to plan a Kickstarter, execute a Kickstarter, get it funded, and now to have your, you know, secure your resources.
Well, here's the thing.
That's like a 3-month process.
You'll probably agree with me. Lower your expectations to the developers. You know, expect the worst. Just be ready for the worst, you know. Especially if you're
saying that, as you saying that as a consumer, or are you saying that as
as a general business practice, really. I mean, you know, yeah, you might want this guy, but you know, you have to understand that if there's a chance he's not going to be available for you, you know, there's something called Murphy's Law. You know, if you don't think he's going to be available for you, at least have a backup. You know?
It's unicorn syndrome. It's the company wants to spend as little money as it possibly can and get the absolute perfect candidate that can do a million and one jobs and only have to pay them one salary. So they're not, you know, if you hold out for that perfect, you know, for that perfect candidate every time, you're never going to get your game out the door. You know, there's no one who knows everything.
Here's a little thing. Are you allowed to say what you're going to be working on in Orlando?
Yes, I'm going to be teaching game design.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I thought you were actually... Let me ask you a question. Does this allow you to actually design games while you're teaching?
Actually, they encourage it, yes.
Okay. So
more news to come in the upcoming year. Like I said, 2017 is going to be interesting.
Well, at least you have a stable income, you know. You have a day job.
That's the point.
Yep.
A day job that I'm going to love because I get to talk about video games all day.
So are you going to, is that going to, I can just picture you right now on the blackboard, and you're going to write on the blackboard day one in front of the students, game story is gameplay's bitch.
Oh my god.
And you're going to underline it twice with your chalk.
I'm going to find out during my orientation if I can do that.
What?
I'm going to find out during my orientation if I can do that.
Well, you can always do Shigeru Miyamoto's quote, and that is, you know, bad game is bad forever, that quote.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see, what is it again?
A late game is only late until it comes out, a bad game is bad forever.
Yeah. Which a lot of people should... Oh, you know, I forgot to give an award to Golgam Games as the scam artist of the year, which I backed a game, and they just, after they had the funds, they just vanished. It was for Mansion Lord. And, you know, all the warning signs were there. I should have just saw them. You know?
I will say, most, my most desired award for the coming year.
Oh yeah, that's
if I were made Emperor of the Universe, not to say, you know, the thing that I'm most excited about, because that's a separate award, but the thing that I would most love to see, which is nowhere on the horizon, would be Lego Dimensions story packs, which are the high-end ones, that again are unique story experiences. So here's an idea, like create a new character, create a new story, and have my Lego friends come in to help me the same way that they did adding Sora to, you know, the existing Final Fantasy and Disney catalogs and creating something new. That's what I would love to see. I would love to see a new IP story pack for Lego Dimensions.
I thought you were going to say Dungeon Keeper 3.
why do you got to do that to me, Jim? Why do you got to do that?
I don't know.
Why you got to do that, Jim?
If someone announced Dungeon Keeper 3, how on point would you be? Although
I would be cautiously optimistic, and then we would not speak about it until I got my copy on launch day.
Well, remember, 2017 is the 20th anniversary of the first Dungeon Keeper. So it'd be 20 years. Hint out there.
For a 20-year game, that it really holds up.
Well, you do play Dungeon Keeper 2, right? I mean, do you prefer Dungeon Keeper or Dungeon Keeper 2?
I think I prefer the original, Frank. Well, you know what? They both have their quirks. Dungeon Keeper 2 spent a lot of resources on this whole jumping into first-person thing for your creatures, and I just don't care for it because
it was
too drastic a genre shift for me.
It was interesting, you know, being able to briefly be third-person just because you're exploring your own dungeon. I mean, that was the entire... That's like when you're in the 3D mode of Railroad Tycoon 3. It's just so you can ride your own ride, you know?
Yeah, that's fun.
Although that's more of a that's more of fitting with a roller coaster, because if you have a roller coaster ride, you want to ride the roller coaster, you know.
Right, but not the point is that not everybody is gonna like every feature. So to force somebody into a feature that they really aren't good at, that they don't care for, that isn't why they got into the game in the first place, as you know, as an ancillary, you know, temporary genre shift, it gets a little frustrating if not done properly. But,
you know,
I mean, hey, you know, game design is an art as much as it is a skill.
You know, sometimes I don't even want a sequel. I just want an updated, remastered remake with everything exactly the same, just prettier on the eyes, you know?
Like, oh, I don't even want that. I just want more content.
Well, that too. I mean, yeah, it's either that or more content. You know, like different kinds of monsters that can control. I mean, I hate the friggin' Horned Reaper, by the way.
Like, I would have been perfectly happy with Final Fantasy X-2 if it was the exact same world and the exact same engine and the exact same characters. Like, they could have changed nothing. They could have just copied over my game data and just give me more things to do in this world. You know, which is essentially what they did, but they overshot what they needed to, and
made it like a whole you know, game on its own. It's like, that's not what I'm doing. Like, I want to go back. I want to, like, if you've read any successful series, like Harry Potter, for example, you know, you don't go hopping from location to location to location. You're just continuing with the places that you're familiar with and expanding a little bit, you know, in a successful series.
I just like the little surprises games sometimes throw you. Like in Dungeon Keeper, either Dungeon Keeper 1 or Dungeon Keeper 2, if your dungeon had nothing but dark mistresses, the game would actually say to you, your dungeon has nothing but dark mistresses in it. There's a word for a lord like you.
Oh, yeah, Horny's got a great sense of humor.
Oh, no, the Horned Reaper does not have a great sense of humor. He's pissed off at anything you do.
He's the one that's saying all that to you.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay. But I mean, when the Horned Reaper itself, when it's in the dungeon, it hates almost everything that you do. The only thing it wants to do is fight. That's the only thing that makes it happy. If you feed it, it gets angry. If you don't feed it, it gets angry. If you give it money, it gets angry. If you don't give it money, it gets angry. If you slap it, it gets angry, you know?
That's why you pick it up, you drop it in the training room, and you leave it alone.
Or just sick it on everybody, be the last
creature.
He's
happy there.
Yeah.
Wizard's happy in the library. The killing machine is happy in the killing room.
But no, actually, the Horned Reaper gets pissed off if it's in the training room too long as well. It gets impatient. Because it just wants to fight. It just wants to kill things. It wants to eat things. But, yeah, I mean, you know, but you're more of the Dungeon Keeper master than I am. Because I played it, but I didn't play... I was actually more into Theme Hospital, which was the predecessor to Dungeon Keeper.
God, there's this one board in the original Dungeon Keeper that is my absolute favorite.
Yeah.
Because they have... your dungeon is in the center... And they have four parties of adventurers coming from each of the corners of the realm.
Yeah, I remember that one. And the dwarves are there hacking away at the thing, slowly making their way to your dungeon.
Right. So they're all chopping through the soft
dirt.
The soft dirt, and it was so frustrating because no matter what you did, like one of them would break through.
Yeah.
And as soon as one of them broke, as soon as one of them breached, they would all eventually find their way into that hole. Until I realized that the only thing you have to do is just make sure that your imps reinforce the walls before they get there. So just make more imps. And then as soon as then the bad guys will just keep circling your stone wall until you're ready to deal with them.
Yeah, I'm going to look at Dungeon Keeper Gold here on GOG and see if there's any technical issues with it. And if there isn't, I'm just going to buy it. Just to play it again.
Oh, that's a great tip.
Yeah, I mean, what I remember is every time you conquered a kingdom, they're happy little fun rabbits and elves and all that stuff are now miserable. Good job!
To destroy them, and then you come back and it's just a wasteland. All right,
yeah.
But I gotta get going because, you know, I gotta move.
We've been talking about games for an hour. This is an episode unto itself.
That's because I'm awesome.
I also had a lot to say, I mean.
That's true. But, so Miles... Stone episode.
Yeah.
Congratulations. What number?
What? I didn't hear what did you say?
So what's the big milestone?
450.
Yay, 450.
You know, we're also at 288 in the video game roundtable, which means 300 is coming around the corner in like a couple of weeks.
That's why I lost count, because I was counting video game roundtable.
Yeah. But no, I mean, actually, hopefully you'll be on for 300, which is probably more important for you, because you're video game roundtable more than gaming podcast.
Well, hopefully, what's that, 20 weeks from now? Hopefully I'll be a little bit
12
more
weeks.
Settled.
12 what? Weeks. 12 weeks. Count.
Here's an idea. Take a week or two off in the
interim. Well, that's the thing, is actually we are taking a week off for the Christmas vacation week. So, yeah. As a matter of fact... You know what? I may just use this as an entire episode unto itself. Just, you know, so it's like 450A.
the Paul is awesome episode.
Well, I mean, remember, you haven't done it would be like one of the Doctor Who episodes.
That's true. I don't even have time to write my name in the snow.
With what, I wonder?
With a stick, you pervert.
Anyways, thanks for dropping by, and everybody who listened to get the update with what is up with Paulus Novak episode.
Yep. Moving, teaching, about to start teaching. It's a whole thing. I also published my novel.
Oh, which one was it? Was it the teen romance one?
Yeah. It's on Amazon.
Oh, and the name of it is
Alexei Petrov and the Curse of the Gypsy Prince.
Right, and you actually use actual Romanis and not just generic gypsies.
I am not the cultural expert on the subject of Romani, so no, I actually don't do that, because I don't want to be offensive.
Okay.
However, in a magical fantasy universe, I deliberately say, no, our family is not that thing, which is, you know, they're fighting for their rights in modern culture. We are what the stereotype came from, and this other group got saddled with that. We're kind of sorry.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that also, I have to remind people that it's also a gay teen romance thing. So your main character is gay.
And a fantasy adventure in the spirit of The Sword of Truth.
Cool. So yeah, check it out on Amazon. You can repeat the title again, just in case people missed it.
That's Alexei, Alexei Petrov, Petterov, and The Curse of the Gypsy Prince. Or you could just, you know, search my name.
Right. Anyways.
And you'll see that I have two books. two books.
Anyways, we will see you next week. Well, maybe not Paul, but the royal we will see you next week.
I'll see you, like, next quarter.
And hopefully he'll be here for the actual big milestone.
Hey, if you take more than 1 week off, the chances increase.
Okay, we'll see you later.
All right, bye, guys.